help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 325, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart, and what follows, Psalter 325, the first three stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 1 Corinthians 15, the verses 1 through 28. But first, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, the first 28 verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, Whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Thus far the scripture reading. Oh, let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then thou hast left many good and precious things amongst us and our children, that we may yet freely come up to thy house, and that thou grantest desire, even if it is in the way of form and duty, that we and our children may place ourselves under the means of grace. And then we humbly ask thee for the spirit of prayer and of supplication and of thanksgiving, a humble heart to acknowledge thee for the many blessings which thou so liberally and undeservedly bestoweth upon us and our children, and that we may receive hearts or have hearts that may truly feel our needs aright, and with an eye upon thee, who art able to give exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think. The temporal needs, they are great, they are manifold. The greatest need is the need for our never-dying soul. Then already on this Lord's Day, then we have heard of wonderful things, a Passover lamb. Then we have also seen the visible administration of the gospel. And then by renewal, then we commend those fathers and mothers with their little ones unto thee, Lord, Well, to grant those exercises following a coming on their knees in the inner chamber as poor sinners of parents insufficient with a deep and an abiding impression of that one thing needful and a crying and a begging of thee that thou may do for them and for their children what is signified in the sacrament that is to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, with an impression of their stewardship that it is only for a time, and we know not how long, and stewards that must give an account. Lord, may it please thee to bind us as a people, as poor sinners and beggars, at thy throne of grace, humbly begging of thee for a richer outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Ah, may thou grant us set time, that thou may favor us and our children. May it please thee in this very evening hour to grant tokens thereof. And ah, Lord, what greater tokens could thou give unto us as a people if it would be heard that through thy word, by the application of thy Spirit, that sons and daughters were born in Zion. Our little children, our youth, the middle-aged and the elderly, that a people would be placed in their guilt, and that a need would be born for the passion, for the meritorial work of thy dear Son. What greater token could thou give, Lord, than if thou would grant a token of good for thy people? Ah, thou knowest how they have come up. They are so dependent upon thee for those lively desires. Ah, thou knowest that it can be so quiet and that it can be so still, but wilt thou stir them up to be given to cry unto thee for the precious leading of the Spirit, and no rest outside of the application of the blood of thy dear Son. Wilt thou grant the strengthening of faith? Wilt thou remember in this season of passion that they may be led deeper into the mysteries of salvation? Oh, the unfathomable love and the great willingness of the servant of the Father to go the way of suffering and death, that thy church may go free. Bless the manifold means of grace. Bless the manifold labors of the consistory, who is sufficient unto these things. May they daily be carried upon the wings of prayer. Bless the labors on the Lord's day and during the week. Also the instruction of our youth. Wilt thou help fathers and mothers to instruct their dear ones in that aforesaid doctrine? Wilt thou remember and bless our Christian school? Continue to grant traveling mercies. Remember administration. Wilt thou help the school board? Remember all the teachers, with those that may stand at their side in their responsible May it also be a joyful task, and may thy word be blessed. Wilt thou provide for all our needs, also for the needs for teachers. Then we remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth, the established churches. Remember our theological school, the instructors and the students. May their number be multiplied. Uphold the persecuted church. Wilt thou enlighten the Jewish nation? Remember those that bring thy word to the far corners of the earth, many times with many obstacles and many difficulties, when there seems to be no way. Wilt thou make a way? Remember mission work, also our mission field. Remember thy servants, and remember the team. We remember the manifold and great needs of our poor country. That sinks further and further away from thee and from thy institutions. Then we must say with the prophet of old, the crown has fallen from our head. Woe that we have sinned, Lord. Wilt thou grant that sorrow also concerning our country? And wilt thou grant yet a prayer for the same? Remember all those in high authority and impress upon our hearts that we and our children are part of this country and therefore very guilty. Ah, may it please thee to grant in these days an upright repentance from our evil and worldly ways. Lord, remember the many temporal needs. Wilt thou provide the daily bread for the family circles? The cares can be manifold. Then by renewal, we remember all the elderly ones in our care home. Remember those that may care for them. Remember those that are bound to their dwelling. Those that may still come up to thy house. Above all things, may it please thee to save their never dying souls. Remember widowers, widows, and those that have brought children and other dear ones to the cemetery. Remember orphans. May it please thee to comfort them. We remember the sick and the afflicted, those with that dreadful disease. Grant a prayer for one another. May all the callings be sanctified. Remember the crosses, the burdens, the scars. Remember all the family circles. Wilt thou grant that love may abound when it is not so? Wilt thou grant a bowing of the knees and a turning unto thee? Wilt thou be a wonder-doing God? Wilt thou graciously watch over us and our children in a world of so many temptations and abounding evil? Lord, may it please thee now in this evening hour to grant thy gracious help. Open thy precious word. Open our mouth. Open our hearts. Wilt thou remember all those that could not come up to thy house in this evening hour, the lawful reasons they are known unto thee, when they may listen along? Wilt thou grant a blessing Wilt thou remember those that would not come up, but, oh Lord, wilt thou remember all that have come up. Oh, may it please thee to grant a good hour in thy house. Leave us not cold, untouched. May it please thee to go from bench to bench, and that thou may visit, that thou may renew, that thou may convert, take everything away that could be a hindrance. Help our little boys and girls to understand thou only needeth one word. Wilt thou make the devil ashamed? Give a little rest in thy house. Ah, Lord, then we have many matters to lay before thee, also many reasons to acknowledge thee. We have nothing to plead upon. May it please thee to look down upon us poor sinners in the sun of thy eternal love. Lord, glorify thyself in the midst of us and our children. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 427, the stanzas 5 and 6. The stone the builders had rejected and in contempt refused to own, to their dismay has been selected to be the foremost cornerstone. And what follows? Psalter 427, the stanzas 5 and 6. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 17, a question and answer number 45. Oh, what doth the resurrection of Christ profit us? Answer first. By his resurrection, he has overcome death, that he might make us partakers of that righteousness which he had purchased for us by his death. Secondly, we are also by his power raised up to a new life. And lastly, the resurrection of Christ is a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. Lord's Day number 17 speaks of the blessed resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. With four thoughts, in the first place, the victory through the resurrection. In the second place, the application of the resurrection. In the third place, the new life by the resurrection. And fourthly, the pledge in the resurrection. The blessed resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The victory, the application, the new life, and fourthly, the pledge in the resurrection. Beloved congregation, as we go through the catechism, then it is always necessary that we consider where we are in the catechism and the context surrounding a particular Lord's Day. Then we have heard in the introduction the first question. Do you know what that is, boys and girls? Can you remember? What is the first question of the catechism? What is thy only comfort in life and death? And all the Lord's days following, they are given to describe that comfort and how a poor sinner may obtain the same. Then first we have heard of the knowledge of the origin and the punishment of sin. And then there was asked, how is that now, congregation? When we are going through the catechism, or are there people that think, I cannot go along anyway? It is for God's people that is true. May that truly be impressed upon our heart, and the great need for that only comfort. Oh, in our Lord's Day, there it is declared that there is still hope for us and our children. No one in this evening can say, it is not possible for me. It is hopeless. Oh, it is true from my side. From our side, then it is hopeless. And then we have heard that in Lord's Day number 5, there was asked for a way that the justice may be satisfied. And then there was spoken of a mediator, truly God and real righteous man. And now to obtain that blessing, by the gift of faith, wrought in the heart of his children by the Holy Spirit. And then there was asked, what must the sinner now believe to be saved? Everything that is written in the Word of God, and that has been shortly summarized in the 12 articles. And then we have heard, I believe in God the Father. We have heard of creation, of providence. And then we have heard, I believe in Jesus Christ. Four names we have considered. And now in this evening hour, we have come to the fifth article of the 12 articles. And then we have already heard wonderful things concerning the Son of God. And then we have learned from Reverend Hallenbrook that mediator must be known in five ways. Our young people, and also hopefully all the older ones, they could tell us in this evening hour those five ways. And the Lord has a people upon the earth that are instructed in those five ways. And in that way of instruction, he becomes even more necessary and more precious. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2 verse 7 has declared, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. And then the mediator must be known in his names, must be known in his natures, in his offices, and in his states. Then in the last two Lord's days, then we have considered the state of his humiliation, it is true. In Lord's Day number 14, there was spoken of his humble birth. Then we have heard of the passion, of the sacrifice, the suffering, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now in this Lord's Day, the fifth article, that he rose again from the dead. Then this Lord's Day is not so lengthy, only one question and answer. If we compare it to Lord's Day number 16, and also Lord's Day number 18, they are much longer, also a purpose. Of course, in the last Lord's Day, then we were given to consider a few steps of his humiliation. And now in this Lord's Day, the first step of his exaltation. In the time of the Reformation, concerning Lord's Day number 16, also concerning Lord's Day number 18, when it concerns the ascension of Christ, then there have been different thoughts. But in the time of the Reformation, it is true, there have always been people that have denied the resurrection of Christ. In the time when Christ was upon the earth, the Sadducees and the keepers together with the priests, they have told a lie. As a general rule, in the time of the Reformation, then the resurrection of Christ was not questioned. The resurrection of Christ is so clearly proven and declared in the scriptures, all prophesied in the Old Testament, in Psalm 16, verse 10, where the psalmist was given to declare that his soul would not be left in hell. Oh, what a types We have in the Old Testament an Isaac has returned from Mount Moriah on the third day, a Joseph in prison. He was brought out of prison. We have the budding rod of Aaron. We have the example of Samson, that he has taken the gates of Gaza and that he has placed them on a hill between Gaza and Hebron, that Jew and Gentile may see that wonderful work. We have the type of Jonah, 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. Christ has declared to his disciples that he must die, but that he must also rise. Then on the morning of the resurrection, the psalmist has declared in Psalm 118, "This is the day which the Lord has made. We will be glad and rejoice in the same." Then the living Savior. Then we have the testimony of the angels. We have the falsehood of the keepers, because our boys and girls can understand that those keepers, if they would be sleeping, if they would all be sleeping, how could they say that he was stolen? We have the appearances 5 times on the day of the resurrection. Then the Lord Jesus Christ as the greater Joseph. Then he had a vehement desire to appear unto his church and to speak comfortably unto them. Then in our Lord's day, we read what doth the resurrection of Christ profit us first. By his resurrection, he hath overcome death. Then he has become the victor, because in paradise, after our parents have taken of that forbidden fruit, then we in them, then we lie under a threefold death. The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Then the devil was given to rejoice that he has marred God's creation, that the jewel of God's creation has fallen so deeply. When we consider that fact, then in a certain sense, then cemeteries, they testify against us what we have done. But now Christ, when he is risen, do we not read in Psalm 78, "One that awaketh that mighty man, as the resurrected king, then he has been victor over death." Because the justice of God that requires that death be executed, a threefold death, spiritual, temporal, and if we are not saved, eternal. The truth of God, because God is a God that cannot lie, but now through that precious mediator, through the risen King, then he has been victor over death. And to that end, then our Lord's Day speaks of a living Savior, that has been experienced by the church on that day of resurrection, and that shall be experienced by the child of God. And then it shall be their desire that they may experience it each time by renewal. Because many times the Lord leads his people through the depths, through those impossible ways. There can be those times that they have trouble with that atheist. They can know it in their mind. But in the way of experience, when it seems that their ship is ready to suffer shipwreck, and the Lord heareth not, but now in our text words, then we may read of that living Savior, for John the Apostle on the island Patmos, when he was persecuted for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, when his thoughts have multiplied, then he has received a vision of that living Savior. And then he has heard, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Then Christ, as that risen Savior, then he has defeated Satan. Oh, if there is one upon the earth that has experienced the justice and truth of God, because Satan was cast out of heaven, for Satan there is no hope. Oh, do we not read of the devil in James 2, verse 19? Ye believe that there is a God that doeth well. The devils also believe, and they are given to tremble. Oh, how the devil has trembled when the Son of God, oh, then those keepers and that seal could not keep the Savior in the grave. Then he is risen as that victor, our second thought. The application of the resurrection. And now it is the desire of the true Church of God to continually experience that Christ is a living Savior. He is a living Savior. But now to experience it, and it does not begin with that knowledge. Christ has even said to his disciples in John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me, people of God. How far can we come? But now our Lord's day, that goes about a knowledge of the living Savior and of his wonderful work. Oh, the church on that day, Mary Magdalene weeping at that empty grave, as she did not understand the riches thereof. Then Mary Magdalene has experienced that he was a living King, a living Savior. One word, Mary, that is the desire of the living child. Oh, a Peter, who has sinned everything away, has sent himself out of that office, has denied his master 3 times. It is true. Ah, when Jesus has looked at him with such a look of love. But now on the day of the resurrection, then the church was given to say that he has appeared unto Simon Peter. Ah, those men of Emmaus, the disciples, the church in the evening. Oh, with Thomas, 8 days later, when he was given to behold those pierced hands, a living Savior. And that is now the experience of a child of God. And the Lord makes room for each instruction and for each benefit. But now what does the child of God need? Oh, the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have heard in this morning of a Passover lamb, and that lamb had to be slain, but the blood also had to be applied. When we speak of the states of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we speak of the relationship of the Son of God to the justice of his Father. And in the state of his humiliation, then he has stood as a debtor. The sins of his church, they have been placed upon him. That cup of wrath was given to the Savior. Oh, what a willing servant. What a willing Savior. Oh, what an unfathomable love. And that for a people that now becomes the wonder, for such a one as I am, a black, a vile, the chiefest of sinners, thus in the state of his humiliation, then he stood as a debtor, but now in the state of his exaltation, then he has been acquitted. It is true, already on Good Friday, that is the payday for the church, with that sixth crossword, it is finished. And then the Father has given his divine approval and amen upon that sacrifice on the cross, where the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom, to declare that the Old Testament sacrifices were no longer necessary, that the Father delighted and was well pleased with the perfect sacrifice of his dear Son, but more so to confirm than on the morning of the resurrection, then the Father has sent the angel to roll the stone away, because the price was paid, justice was satisfied, and therefore Christ has come out of the grave as the great victor. And now, because the Lord has a people upon the earth that do not only need a mediator, that has merited salvation, oh, young and old, how is it now with these matters? Or is there no need in your heart? No need for justice satisfied. No need for a mediator. Then let me ask you, what shall you then do with your sins? And then here in the time, then we can try to forget, try to drive it out of our thoughts, maybe seeking it in the pleasures of the world. May we be kept from the sinful things. But let me then ask you, what shall you do with your sins? When the Lord sends that angel of death, and when he brings you into eternity, oh, tell me, and that day shall come for each and every one of us. And now it is so necessary that is experienced here in the time, that we are uncovered to our lost condition. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment, and that we are given to cry for mercy. And now, for a people that have learned that they cannot satisfy, that they are a sinner still, and becoming a greater sinner, are there a few such souls in my midst that with all your tears and with all your seeking and with all your labors, we have heard in this morning of a people that could tell us much, but with everything they have experienced, no solution. But now the wonder, oh, may it please the Lord in this season for poor and needy sinners to show a way outside of themselves. and that precious mediator, that lamb without blemish, that has not opened his mouth, that was willing to go the way of suffering and death. And now the Lord has a people upon the earth that learns that they need a mediator that has merited salvation, and that by his active and by his passive obedience, what do we mean by those two words? The active obedience is that Christ has perfectly kept the law for his people, and the passive obedience that he has suffered and died. And now that passive obedience that is so necessary and that becomes so precious, oh, the marrow of the gospel, a suffering, a bleeding, a dying Savior. Thus that passive obedience that was to satisfy justice, and that active obedience that is to grant a right to eternal life. And now the Lord teaches his child that he need a mediator that is merited that salvation. And when the church may be given to behold him in the way of a suffering and death, when they may see him on the cross, white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000s, then what a salvation lieth therein. But now the true child of God, oh, there are many in our day, many churches, a Christendom, that indeed speaks of a Christ that has merited salvation, but then they say that a sinner must take and apply that merited salvation to themselves. But the child of God learns the necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit to lead them from step to step. And now the exalted Christ in his threefold office, then he is given to apply that salvation. And to that end, the instructor says that he might make, oh, that might is based upon the perfect finished work of Jesus Christ in the state of his humiliation, but now as the risen King, then he applies that salvation and makes us partakers of that righteousness that he has purchased for us by his death. Thus that speaks of the application of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul, Peter, has written to the church in 2 Peter 1 verse 10, that they may be given to make their calling and election sure, thus to seek for that assurance. The psalmist in Psalm 35 verse 3 has said, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. In Isaiah 61 verse 10, then the church is given to rejoice because they have received that covering righteousness, those garments of salvation. And now we have heard out of 1 Corinthians 15 that the Apostle Paul was given to speak to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was not only suffered and died, but then he was given to speak of the riches of a resurrected Christ. And then he has written to the churches that if Christ was not risen, then his preaching would be in vain. Then I think that even our children can understand it with her mind, that if Christ had not risen, then what must we preach? But now it is declared that Christ is risen indeed, that he is that King, King of kings and Lord of lords, the mediator, the Savior, that has merited that salvation, a risen Christ that sits at the right hand of the Father. Therefore, congregation, the doors of God's house have yet been opened because that risen Christ, he is still gathering a church unto himself, young and old. Has the Lord now begun that good work? Have we been born again? Have we become new creatures? Have we become a sinner? Has the need for that Savior been born in our heart? And then Paul has written that his preaching would be in vain, but also that the faith of the church would be in vain. Thus, what a righteous declared in this Lord's day, may we be given to examine. Let me ask you, congregation, are you glad that there is a God? Are you glad that Christ is risen? Give an answer in this evening. How is it with our soul? But it is declared that Christ is risen, that he is that living King. And I read in Philippians 2 verse 10, that he is given a name above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. May it be granted. That is also the work of the King, to grant that bowing of the knee, the bowing of the heart. Our third thought, let us first sing. Psalter 45, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Now the King in thy strength shall be joyful. O Lord, thy salvation shall make him rejoice. For the wish of his heart thou didst freely accord, the request of a suppliant voice, and what follows. Psalter 45, the first three stanzas. the blessed resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the victory through the resurrection, the application of the resurrection, and now thirdly, the new life by the resurrection. And then the instructors, they have added, secondly, we are also by his power raised up to a new life. And then concerning that new life, then we may speak of regeneration, sanctification, and never separated. And when the instructors speak of that new life in the second place, then they are not speaking of a specific order. When we speak of regeneration, the Apostle Paul has written to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, if any man is in Christ, he has become a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I read in John 14 verse 19, because I live, he shall live also. When we speak of sanctification, then our old fathers, as we find it in the scriptures, then they have spoken of passive sanctification, a benefit, a blessing, which the child of God receives in the moment of regeneration, when he is wrought upon by the Holy Spirit. And that act of sanctification, that continues all their life long. Then that sanctification, that is imperfect in this life. Nevertheless, a fruit of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that by his almighty power, by word and spirit, that he raises dead sinners, because I read in Ephesians 2 verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in sins and trespasses. That is an almighty power that takes place when a sinner is wrought upon by the Holy Spirit. And then we become new creatures, with those new and living desires. It is such a marvelous work. It is such an astonishing work. And then that people learn to love what the Lord loves and hate what the Lord hates. Oh, what an examples we have in the Bible of that new life, of that regeneration, of that sanctification. It is true, though one more gradual, we even read of those that have feared the Lord from their youth. We read of a Manasseh in 1 Chronicles 33 verse 13, then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Oh, that Manasseh had sinned everything away. He was brought in prison, and then he was arrested by grace. Oh, think of Saul on the way to Damascus, a self-righteous Pharisee, but he did not have those living desires after God, after Christ and his righteousness, and then a Saul has become a Paul. We also read of a Timothy, that he has known the scriptures from his youth, which are able to make wise to salvation. The Lord is free. The Lord is sovereign. But it is the work of the risen and the living King, unto whom is given all might, all power in heaven and upon earth. And what a power it takes to renew a sinner that is dead in sins and trespasses. Thus a new life. There can also be an other life. We think of Saul, the first king of Israel. He has received an other heart, has experienced wonderful things, has even been said, is Saul not under the prophets? We would say, boys and girls, Saul has become a minister, and he has begun to preach, but he has not received a new life. And for the living child of God, how often they examine themselves. Oh, when their corruptions come to the foreground full of unbelief, when it becomes so still, so quiet, then how often the child thinks of the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. Our last thought, the pledge in the resurrection. The resurrection of Christ is a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. Christ, he has sanctified the grave for his child. And now the resurrection of Christ, he is the first fruits. He is the head. And now the resurrection that is a pledge, we would say a bond, a guarantee that the child of God shall also resurrect in the great day of the resurrection. And then it says, a sure pledge, because Christ has purchased his people for body and soul, and Christ has went as the forerunner. He has entered the heavens. He has opened that door, made a way back to the Father heart of God. And now the instructor, the resurrection of Christ, is a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. The instructors have not said a sure pledge of our resurrection. What a solemn day that shall be, congregation. Do you sometime think of that day? Boys and girls, young people, older ones, do you many times think of that day? When we see what has taken place in this world and in our country, and we read the scriptures, is your heart then many times filled with fear? Fathers and mothers with children, do you then think of the great day of the resurrection, when Christ, then we shall all behold him, then we shall see him as the living King, as the judge. But how shall we behold him? And then, when the trumpet shall be blown, when shall that be, congregation? When the last one is quickened, when the last one is converted. What does that tell us, boys and girls? That the living King, that he is still gathering the people. And to that end, oh, to be given, there's a blessing when the congregation may faithfully come up two times on the Lord's Day. That is a great privilege to place herself where that living and almighty King has promised by word and by spirit to gather his church unto himself and to grant that new life. Have you asked for congregation that that may take place in this evening hour, or do we not expect it to happen? May it be impressed upon our hearts that for each and every one of us, there is one thing needful, and the service under that living King, that is such a precious, and that is such a good service. It is true, hard lessons are learned, but it is such a precious service to receive those new and living desires. And when the Lord grants those desires, or do you think, congregation, that that living King shall grant those living desires? Oh, to hunger and thirst after righteousness, to cry after the Lord, and that he shall let them perish. Oh, what can and shall never be. But now the resurrection for the people of God, it is true, we have heard it out of 1 Corinthians 15, that death is the last enemy for his people. But in the verses 56 and 57, then we read that death has been conquered. But oh, the great day of the resurrection, my unconverted fellow travelers, may you be given to humbly beg. We have not deserved it. We have sent everything away, but it pleases the King to gather a church with those new and with those living desires. Oh, he is so worthy to be served, to be honored, and to be glorified. Because what shall it be to have sat under that truth and heard of that precious Savior who can save to the uttermost, and then on the day of the resurrection to behold maybe a father, a mother, parents, children, brothers, sisters that stand on the right hand, and then that blessed resurrection, because then body and soul shall be united, and then for the church, oh, to receive the fulfillment in its fullness of those desires, and then to be taken home into eternal glory, where none shall say, I am sick, and where all the tears shall be dried up and delivered from that assaulting and mocking devil, delivered from self and delivered from the world, and then to praise the Lord for his wonderful works. Ah, may the prayers be multiplied. May we be given to beg the living King fervently, that he may work lovingly and irresistibly in the hearts of young and old. There is one thing needful. We need to be born again. We need to be saved. Oh, the Apostle Paul has written to the Colossians, then the child of God, to smite himself upon the breast, but then in the way of examination, then the Apostle has written, if ye be risen with Christ, seek these things which are above. And to the Philippians in chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, who was able to declare the riches that lieth in the resurrected and the living King, we humbly ask thee that the King by his Spirit, by word and by spirit, that he may gather many subjects. Our Lord, we all stand in need of the same thing. What a solemn thought it is for one of us to have to go lost forever and ever. Lord, work then lovingly and irresistibly. May the prayers be multiplied. May there be a wrestling at the throne of grace. Then we may humbly ask thee that the children which have received the sign and the seal of the covenant, that the King may take early possession of their young hearts. Remember all the family circles thou hast granted, that we may commence another week. Well, to watch over us, remember the mothers at home with the children during the day, during the night. Remember at work, remember at school, well, thou keep upon the way, well, thou keep us from sin and temptation, well, thou direct all our thoughts and our words, and then we remember the parents who were called upon with their little son to go to the hospital, well, thou go with them. Well, thou help the physician, bless the means, sanctify the callings. Remember all those that have difficulties, that are troubled, dreaded diseases. May we be given to bear one another's burdens. Lord, wilt thou now remember us in the furtherance of this evening hour? Bring us safely to our dwellings. May we begin to meditate upon what we have heard. May we begin to examine each our hearts, whether we indeed have become a living subject of that living King. Lord, we may acknowledge thee for thy help, and that thou wast given an other Lord's day, another soul's mark a day. Oh, have mercy upon us and our children. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 31, the stanzas 1 and 7. Lord, hear the right, regard my cry, my prayer from lips sincere. Ascend thy approval from on high, my righteousness make clear, and what follows. Psalter 31, the stanzas 1 and 7. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.